Hello and welcome to the Tennis Menu's daily ATP Finals show, where we are going to be taking you through everything to do with the year-end finals in London, the final event that will be held in the English capital as we move to Turin next year. But there have been some golden moments in our time in London for the ATP Finals, where the final eight players, or the best eight players of the year, get together to showcase their best tennis, where the best takes on the best. And remember, you can head to thetennismenu.com to get an annual subscription for just $99.90 US, which includes over 600 tennis-specific drills and resources to make you a better tennis coach. Val Febbo here with you, taking you through everything happening for the ATP Finals, and joining me, as they did during the French Open and as this man did during the US Open as well, the best high-performance coach in the business, Mark Sefulis. How are you?
I'm going really well, thanks, Val, and good to be back with the boys and ready to obviously keep everyone up to date with what's happening on the ATP Tour. Obviously, the WTA are basically finishing up pretty shortly with no year-end finals. But how good is it to have the best eight male players? Obviously, at the moment, it is red hot. These players are in great form, and I can't wait to see what unfolds in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll take you through the format of the tournament as well. Before we do that, we're going to get to this man, Joel Stone Cold Ferrucci. How are you?
Going very well, boys. Good to be back with you both. And I'll tell you what, a lot's changed since I spoke to you guys last. The tennis clubs are back open, been back out hitting, and our regular viewers would notice I'm a lot less hairy around here. So feeling good, but I'm keen to chat about the year-end finals. It's a really good field this year.
You've shaved a little bit, have you? It's very, very nice of you to do that for us, Joel. I'm very pleased. Very pleased.
No worries, mate.
But we should talk to you about the format of the ATP Finals. And if you didn't already know, it is a round-robin event consisting of two groups. And it's the best eight players of the season with the points accrued for the year. But this year is a little bit different. The 29 points also included from those tournaments that weren't played in 2020, meaning that Novak Djokovic sits at number one with 11,830 points. Nadal sitting at number two with 9,850. Dominic Thiem in third with 9,125. Daniel Medvedev with 6,970. Roger Federer would have qualified despite only playing the Australian Open because of his 2019 form. 6,630 points. He's not in. He was fifth. Stefanos Tsitsipas, 5,925. Zverev, 5,525. Andre Rublev, what a year he had, 3,919. And then Diego Schwartzman. Little Diego qualifies it for that eighth spot, 3,455 points, meaning Matteo Berrettini, Gael Monfils, and Milos Raonic, and Denis Shapovalov all miss out by, well, very, very bare margins. Probably one good week, probably could have got them into contention. But the round-robin format is what we're looking at as well. And the groups are set. The draw came out overnight with Group Tokyo 1970, consisting of Novak Djokovic, Daniel Medvedev, Alexander Zverev, and Diego Schwartzman, and Group London 2020, consisting of Rafael Nadal, Dominic Thiem, Stefanos Tsitsipas, and Andre Rublev. And of course, the top two in each group go through to the semifinals, where that becomes a sudden death elimination period and draw. So this is one for you, Mark, before we do get started in the preview. As a coach, this would be a really interesting tournament to be a coach, because obviously there is a next time. If you lose your first match, there's still a chance that you can actually make it through to the next round, which is somewhat peculiar. We've seen in other tournaments over the years where in Adelaide, per se, and in Las Vegas on the ATP Tour, where you can play that round robin and possibly lose a match but still get through. This time, you've really got a chance. And Roger Federer was a perfect example the last 2 years where he lost his first match but ended up getting through to the semifinal. So talk us through that and how you coach after a loss and just say, look, you're not out of it.
Yeah, it is a really good question, a really good point you bring up, because I feel like the last few years, especially, we've had Tsitsipas and Zverev obviously winning the titles. Now, both players have had issues from a psychological perspective in Grand Slams. Now, with the less pressure that comes into play with those first couple of rounds being round robin, these guys are able to play a little bit freer, which actually makes a really big difference. And, you know, you see that where it's high pressure, the best three players in the game, Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, obviously really reign supreme in the Grand Slam format, because if you lose, you're obviously out. They handle pressure extremely well. When you get to this environment, it's those guys that probably are just behind the eight ball that probably have those issues to go to the next level. can literally just swing without any fear. And you see the actual true elements of their game coming through because they're allowing themselves to play without the, the worry of losing a first round. And that can play on the minds of a lot of people. So, you know, as a coach, you go in there and you literally just see what happens. You know, I mean, all eight players coming into this tournament are in red hot form. You know, this is not a tournament that you can just pick a winner out of. It's going to be, you know, who is the best for the entire week. And as we saw last week with Daniil Medvedev, he has had a shocking back end of the year, but, you know, he comes out and plays an exceptional tournament. You know, will he be able to do that and replicate that this week? Who knows? I mean, you've got Zverev in red hot form. You've got Rublev had career best year and was outstanding, which was predicted really well by Roger Federer in a comment that he made at the start of the year. And I think, you know, these guys are all coming in really, really red hot form. Novak Djokovic only got three matches for the year. You know, Nadal wins his 13th Roland Garros. Who is going to come through is going to be a case of who plays the best this week. And it's not, you know, who's the best player in terms of overall. It's just on the week, on the day, in the moment, who is going to be able to handle that. And, you know, at the moment, you can throw a blanket over all of them and see who comes out.
And Mark, you did make a good point off air that this is probably the most even that we've seen this tournament in many years. And Joel, looking at that, you've got, we'll start with the group Tokyo 1970. Not sure about the group names here, with naming them after years in tournament. Like, look, who am I to judge, but not sure about it. I much preferred when they name them after people, like last year, I think it was, or 2 years ago, group Guga Kuerten and group Leighton Hewitt. Didn't mind that. But yeah, naming them after years in tournaments, not sure. But the first group Tokyo 1970, Novak Djokovic, Daniil Medvedev, Alexander Zverev, Diego Schwartzman. The two finalists from Paris taking each other on again this week. And then you've got Novak Djokovic and Diego Schwartzman. Novak's last two tournaments have ended in dismal failures. And we spoke to Ben Rothenberg on Breakpoint during the week, Joel. And he said that it was essentially a bit of a tank from Novak Djokovic. In the way that he played, he went there, did what he had to do to secure the year-end world number one, but Lorenzo Sonego spanked him off the court 2-1. And then you've got Alexander Zverev and Daniil Medvedev. Zverev, a two-time winner in Cologne in the back-to-back events that they had there, then a finalist in Paris, could have won that tournament. Medvedev coming good at the right time. His only tournament of the year, or tournament win of the year, was last week. So, and Diego Schwartzman, you know what you're going to get from Diego week in, week out. So, I honestly, I've got no idea who comes out of this group. And it's so exciting. Novak Djokovic, a proven performer at this tournament, five-time winner. But there's some really interesting prospects in there. Medvedev has the capabilities to push him and does so on a regular basis, has beaten him. Alexander Zverev, again, has a real capability of belting Novak off the court, beat him in the 2018 final 3-4, 4-3, and has beaten him in some really big finals before. And Schwartzman, as I said, you know what you're going to get, but I think the power and I think the brick wall ability of Djokovic and Medvedev and the power of Zverev will be enough to be his undoing.
Yeah, well, look, I think for me, Val, Group 1 is probably a little bit more clear-cut than Group 2. I see Novak Djokovic going through as the group winner. We say it so often. It's just you cannot bet against this guy. Obviously, he's had a couple of defeats in the last few tournaments he's played. Lost the French Open final against Rafael Nadal on clay, admittedly. And then that shock defeat against Lorenzo Sonego, and his return statistics were about as low as I can remember seeing them, something below 35%, I think, for both first and second serve, which was just completely un-Novak-like. But he, as we say, is a proven performer. He knows this event inside out, albeit it's going to be a very unique one this season behind closed doors in London. So I expect Novak to go through. I think that Alex Zverev will come in as runner-up in this group. Obviously, he's been the talk of the tennis world in the last couple of weeks. Some very serious issues there simmering behind the scenes with the accusations of domestic violence. And as much as he has carried himself really like a peanut, in my opinion, he hasn't carried himself well at all. But, I mean, it doesn't seem to be phasing him on the court. And overall this year, he has had a very good season. Of course, semi-finals of the Australian Open, final in the US Open, and a couple of titles scattered in there as well. He did the double in Cologne. So he's looking very, very good. And of course, he only won this event a couple of years ago. So I expect Alex Zverev to make up that group as well.
Yeah, you do make a good point there. He has, it's kind of like he's come through a me against them mentality and against the crowd, so. Against the whole world. And it's kind of that mentality that Novak Djokovic has when he plays. He never really has the full crowd with him like what Roger and Rafa do. But looking at this group, Djokovic with a 4-2 lead over Medvedev, 3-2 over Zverev. So it's very even between those two. 5-0 against Schwartzman. Zverev leads Medvedev 5-2, including Medvedev's win last week. So it was 5-1 before that. But the times that Medvedev has beaten Zverev, 2 Masters 1000 finals. So that means that Medvedev lifts for the big occasion. Had a really poor tournament here last year. I think he finished 4th in his group. Should have beaten Rafael Nadal. Was up 5-1 in the third set. Had match points. Lost them all. Nadal comes back and wins it in an absolute epic like he did at the US Open. But Mark, looking at that for Medvedev, after having such a poor tournament last year, how desperate would he be to try and really rectify that in such a big event? Because this isn't one that is easy to qualify for, and to do so poorly last year, that would burn.
Yeah, it would, but I don't think he's probably going to be thinking about, 12 months ago. I think the last 12 months has changed a lot in everywhere around the world, and he's obviously had a pretty ordinary clay court season, or very ordinary for that matter. But, I think the thing for Medvedev, he needs a fast hard court, and if London is playing fast, I think Novak and Medvedev get through that group, because I feel like they're both outstanding absorbers of ball speed. They've got the ability to redirect the ball. You've got the ability to take the ball speed off the opponent and just like keep it deep and you can't break through them. Obviously Zverev, as Joel was saying, is playing some insane tennis. And I feel like, as you guys have both mentioned, it's almost like he's got another motivation for success at the moment. It's almost like proving people wrong. And he's almost needed that to perform. I think, it's almost, I know it's not a great situation, but it's done him favours in his own mindset, because he's now going, well, if I give this up, the people have got something else to talk about me, and be able to get stuck into me for. And I feel like he's going out there going, you know what? I'm going to prove you guys wrong. I'm going to, stick it up you a little bit, and I'm going to show you what I can possibly do out here. So, those three players to me are the standout in that group. I don't know who gets through. I think the conditions will play a big factor. Being indoor, faster, hard court, I'm probably going to go Medvedev, Novak in that group. But it wouldn't surprise me if Zverev did come through and play some.
Yeah, in what order?
I think Novak will qualify first. I think
Medvedev, in what order?
Novak first, Medvedev second, and Zverev will come third. Well, at this stage, I think that's where it's going to look. And Schwartzman probably is the one that's going to probably rear end that group. I think he's playing some good tennis, really good tennis. But I think the other three are in, scintillating form. I think it's really hard to go past those three.
Yeah, I do agree. And I think Schwartzman does have a big role to play in this group, because he wins one match, that turns the group on its head. Yep. Because he's not going to be the favourite in any of the three. So he gets one match, say, over Djokovic, Medvedev or Zverev. That's going to determine the shape of the group and where that goes. He might even get through. We've seen stranger things happen at this tournament. James Blake, a finalist in 2006. Gaston Gaudio getting through to a semi in 2005. And then you've even got Jack Sock somehow getting through to a semi-final in 2017. I'm still not sure how the hell that happened, but he got through. And even David Goffin beating Roger Federer back in 2017 in the semis when he and Dimitrov met in the finals. So we've seen some strange things happen at this event. Anything can happen, but I do tend to agree with you, Mark. I think it's going to be Novak first, Medvedev in second. And I just think that, but look, Zverev could easily top this group. I think Zverev has the capabilities to go undefeated with the way that he's played this year. So that group is definitely a watch this space. Group London 2020, however, I've got no clue, but I will go. So this group consisting of Nadal, Team, Tsitsipas, and probably the most informed player of the year, Andrei Rublev, maybe just behind Novak Djokovic. But I will say, and I'm going to go off the top here, Nadal ain't getting through here. He's not getting through the round robin. He's only, and we looked this up before, he's qualified for this tournament now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 times, or no, 15 times, and gotten through the round robin stage on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 occasions. 3 times he's fallen in the semifinals, twice he's made the final and lost, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 times in the round robin, and the other 5 were absentees. So this isn't a tournament Nadal generally performs well at. He's never won it. It's the one tournament that Nadal has never won. But I just don't see the indoor courts, and for some reason, Mark, they don't suit him. And why is that?
Look, I feel like it's only due to the speed. So Nadal needs a bit of time to be able to generate the height and spin that he wants to generate. So if you flatten the ball out and go through the middle of the court, it takes away his ability to, one, create angle, and two, create the height and shape to get the ball up. Now, the one thing in his favor, he's actually got 2 single-handed backhand players in the draw. Now, that to me is where he holds a little bit of a trump card, because if he can get that ball jumping on their single-handed backhand, that is where he's had that advantage over Roger Federer over so many years. And I know Roger's been able to counter that of recent times, but I feel like that's probably his biggest asset at this tournament. Now, if the courts are playing quick, though, it is really challenging to get himself around to be able to have time to lift that ball. So, you know, there's going to be a few little factors that play into this. I would never discount Rafa Nadal, no matter where he plays. I think he's a proven player, proven champion. The ability for him to rip the ball into the backhand corner, and, you know, he's the only lefty in the tournament. So, you know, he's going to have a really good showing if he's playing at the form that we know he can play at. Obviously, the courts in the French Open weren't going to suit him. We're probably saying a little bit. We're saying it a little bit now, but you know, his possibility of winning this tournament, no problem. It's just a matter of whether or not the conditions he can adapt to them in the first match or two, similar to what he did at the French Open, and then be able to utilize the court in the ways that he needs to be able to utilize them. So, you know, I think the one thing in his favor is he doesn't have Medvedev or Novak in his round robin. And the reason I say that is that they can really penetrate the baseline with the depth and the flatness of the ball. You know, the other guys have shape to their ball, which gives him a little bit more time. So it would not surprise me if he does get through. This is another tough part of the draw. I feel like, you know, Rublev's probably the hottest player on the tour, apart from Novak. I feel like Dominic Thiem has played his best tennis in 2020. Tsitsipas is playing some exceptionally good tennis, and Nadal's coming off the 13th French Open. Who do you pick? Have no idea. I'm probably going to go with, I think Nadal will get through that. And I think it's either out of Rublev or Dominic Thiem for the second spot, which I can't pick.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make you pick.
I'll go Rublev, actually. I'll go the player who's in a bit of form. So, but at the end of the day, look, I feel like it's going to be a really, really good matches. I think there's going to be some incredible tennis played all the way through. And this group is going to show us, you know, what the game is really all about. There's going to be high intensity from Rublev and Nadal. There's going to be the finesse of the one-handed backhand of Thiem and Tsitsipas. You know, the creativity and the slices are going to be in there. There's going to be the heavy ball. It's going to be incredible to watch.
I tell you what, when Nadal and Thiem play each other, they're going to have to get the sweat rags out, because that is going to flood the O2 arena, where it might become a pool instead of a tennis court. But Joel, looking at this draw, what are your thoughts on it? Because the stats are so fairly even between all of these players. And yes, there's a one-handed backhand, but on these fast courts, Nadal, yeah, he made the semis in Paris last week, but Zverev was able to account for him pretty quickly. And when you come up against a similar player like Rublev, tonight's match becomes really interesting. Sunday night, sorry.
Yeah, well, you're right, Val. I mean, the River Thames might get flooded after that match. It might even become the River team. Who knows? I'll just see myself out now. But anyway, I mean, this group...
Oh, no.
No, but you're right. Like, this group is really, really tight. I struggled to pick out my top two from this one. I guess I do worry that if Rafa does have to adjust at all... it's probably not really an event where, obviously, the players will get, you know, their second chance. But look, I think if players have to adjust, it's probably not going to bode too well for them. I think for me, I'm going with Dominic Thiem. I think he's his hard court play this year has been really, really good. And just generally, he's had himself a really good year. And I like Andrei Rublev to get through as well. He's won the most matches of anyone on the ATP Tour this year, and he's won the most titles as well. So I really like him. And we've touched on it already a little bit in this show, but if we sort of cast our minds back to some recent year-end finals, we have seen some young players and some unexpected winners. We've seen Zverev win it. We saw Tsitsipas win it last year, of course. And the fact that we've really spoken about Stefanos as well probably just shows how even this group is. But we saw Grigor Dimitrov win it a few years ago as well. So, look, I really like Rublev for this one. I think Dominic Thiem will win the group, though. He's looked really, really ominous all year.
Yep, I think it's going to be... I think Thiem does win this group. And I think Rublev comes in second, and I think poor Tsitsipas, the defending champ, isn't going to get through the group stage. And I think he'll probably finish last behind Nadal, who probably will get him. But I just think the way that Dominic Thiem's playing and the way that Rublev is going about his business, I think Rublev will flip that result. I think he'll come first and Thiem in second, just because their most recent meeting in Vienna saw Rublev get through pretty convincingly. So I reckon Rublev at number one. Thiem number two. So if we go through to the semi-finals, so remind me, Joel, who did you have in that top group? You had Novak at one, Zverev at two,
mm-hmm.
and then you've had Thiem at one, Rublev at two.
Correct, yes.
So that'd mean a Djokovic v. Rublev semi-final and a Zverev v. Thiem semi-final. Who gets through to the final there, and then who wins it for you?
Yeah, so I'm going a bit off outside the square. So I'm actually going with Andrei Rublev to beat Novak,
mm-hmm.
and Alexander Zverev to knock over Dominic Thiem. So I've got a Rublev versus Zverev final, and I'm actually going with Rublev to win the whole thing.
Very nice. The mop matchup, that'll be.
The mop matchup, yep.
Their hairstyles are just crazy. Mark, for you, so remind me again, you had Novak 1, Medvedev 2.
Yep.
And then Nadal 1 and Thiem 2.
Was it Rublev.
Yeah, Nadal won, Rublev too. So that would mean Djokovic plays Rublev and Medvedev plays Nadal.
Well, I'm going to go totally different here, and I'm going to assume the courts are extremely quick, and I'm going to go with a Djokovic-Medvedev final. I think if the courts are playing quick and obviously the balls are coming through the court, I would say the flat ball would probably hurt the two guys that are going to be needing time and space to be able to like create what they want to create from their grips. But I'm going to say Djokovic and Medvedev will get through the final. I think Novak will win it. I think he's a big time player, obviously one of the form players in the obviously over the year, and only losing three matches. So I feel he might be, destined for it. He's won five. He was in a great interview with Pete Sampras. If anyone has a chance to have a look at that, I thought it was outstanding seeing two champions of the game having a really good chat around, their most memorable moments of winning the five tournaments and which parts of the game they would take. I thought it was really interesting. So if you get a chance to watch that, it's great. But I think Novak, just from a mental perspective, I think he's probably going to just hold it a little bit in his favour. I think he's hard to back against. I really struggle backing against guys like Nadal and Djokovic, who have done it so many times before on the big stage in the big moments. And I think if the courts are quick defensively, defense are going to win matches. So I'm just going to look at Djokovic winning that final against Medvedev.
More than fair enough. Mine, I've gone, so just to reiterate, Djokovic won in Group Tokyo 1970, Medvedev 2, and then I've gone Rublev 1 and Thiem 2. So that means that Rublev will play Medvedev in the semi, and I'm going to go with Rublev, and I think that Dominic Thiem is going to have Novak Djokovic's measure like last time. And I think it'll be a Rublev Thiem final with Rublev winning that in a very, 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 very tight encounter and end the year with six titles, which would be pretty damn phenomenal considering that probably 60% of the year was eradicated due to COVID-19. So that would be absolutely amazing. The doubles draw will be part of this tournament as well, and they haven't released the groups yet, but they have released the group names, which I did really like. And this was group Bob Bryan and group Mike Bryan, and I thought that was good. And Mark, I know that you would really, really enjoy that, considering considering the fact that you coach both of them and or helped out with both their teams and learned a lot from them. And well, pretty much you assisted them to Grand Slam titles. And this is he's going to be humble, but
I think it's an outstanding recognition for two of the world's best players, not just doubles, but I think they've just shown the pathway for people to be on the tour the way they are. They're the crowd favorites, like 12 years in a row or something crazy like that, you know, winning, you know, 16 Grand Slams together, 18 with Mike Bryan winning 18, 117 or 18 titles, just an incredible feat to have. And just to be involved with those guys and see how great they are as people as well as players, it's just a great recognition for them. And obviously they've retired now from the game, but you know, the doubles finals, obviously our very own John Peers is in there with Michael Venus. So it's good to see an Aussie in the doubles finals. And it's obviously where Australians have made their name over the years. I mean, we've had the Woodies and you know, guys like Paddy Rafter, Leighton Hewitt and Philip Roussos were great doubles players. And it's great to see that, you know, we still have an Aussie up the top of the world, and you know, good luck to John. But it's yeah, some really good teams, and I think that's the best thing about the doubles is that it's all about the best teams, not the best players. And you've got to be an incredible team to win this title.
I'm so cut that Luke Saville and Max Purcell didn't get through their alternates there, and they finished in 10th, and it's just devastating that they didn't get through. I was so hoping they would, and unfortunately. Yeah, just slipping out with a week and a half to go. So disappointing, but they're there as alternates. So fingers crossed they might get a shot at maybe playing a match or two. But the last spot still not decided yet with Jürgen Melzer and Eduard Roger Vasselin in 8th spot. So they're in the prime seat at the moment to do that. And then as soon as the Sofia tournament in which they're participating is decided, then we'll know what exactly is going on. But guys, it's been an absolute pleasure discussing this. I think, again, so Joel and I both had Andrei Rublev winning, and Mark, you've got Novak Djokovic. So I reckon even if that's the final, that's going to be pretty damn tantalizing. But guys, thank you very much, Mark. It's been an absolute pleasure as always.
Thanks. Thanks again, Val. And it's great to be back, you know, bringing tennis to people's living rooms, on their phones, wherever you're watching this. And I think it's awesome. Obviously, unfortunate the WTA finals can't go ahead due to, you know, the Asian swing basically shutting down. So it's pretty challenging, but great to see the best 8 male players of the year. And it doesn't matter who wins this tournament. At the end of the day, we're going to see some cracking tennis. We're going to see the world's best players in form playing against each other. It's such an amazing spectacle, but also if you're a young person out there watching or a coach, there's so many great learning points out of these matches. And, you know, it's going to be outstanding to watch. I just can't wait to see the results. I think it's going to be an incredible tournament.
I know, it's very exciting. Joel, thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure. Looking forward to discussing more of it with you.
Yeah, no worries, boys. Good to be back and very, very keen to finish off the year with a big bang.
It is very, very nice to be back. Who would have thought we'd bring tennis to people's homes for a third time in 2020? We never thought we'd even get one, so let alone three. This is absolutely fantastic. But remember, you can head to thetennismenu.com and get an annual subscription for just $99.90 US, which includes over 600 tennis-specific drills and resources to make you a better tennis coach. Remember, head to thetennismenu.com for all that. There's blogs, there's news, there's everything on there. Mark has done a great job with Nick Gissing setting that up. So remember to get around it and pay for your subscription. It's absolutely phenomenal. Val Febbo, Mark Sefoulis, and Joel Fritchie joining you on the Tennis Menu's daily ATP final show. Novak Djokovic and his group will be second up, but the first group London 2020, Dominic Thiem and Stefanos Tsitsipas, first up on the O2 Arena, second Nadal and Rublev, we're in for a big day.